Святая Мать, Святая Матерь,
Пресвятая
Божия Матерь, Санкт-Пастике,
Санкт-Пастике,
Хэвэн-Гон-Чу,
Варакая,
Пресвятая Блонка,
Кришна,
Арджуна,
Банду,
Friends and Relatives,
Дирикшая,
Meeting them,
Гьятун,
to know,
Cha,
also,
Punya Slokasya,
of one whose stories are sung by Vedic hymns,
Krishnasya,
of Lord Krishna,
Cha,
and
Vishasitam,
further programs of work.
Further programs of work.
Translation.
Sri Sita Goswami said, Arjuna went to Dwarka to see Lord Sri Krishna and other friends, and also to learn from the Lord of his next activities.
Translation responsibly.
Sri Sita Goswami said,
Arjuna went to Dwarka to see Lord Sri Krishna
and other friends.
And also to learn from the Lord of his next activities.
As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord descended on earth for the protection of the faithful and annihilation of the impious. So after the battle of Kurukshetra and establishment of Maharaj Yudhisthira, the mission of the Lord was complete. The Pandavas, especially Sri Arjuna, were eternal companions of the Lord, and therefore Arjuna went to Dwarka to hear from the Lord of his next program of work. Om Ajnanasimaran Vasya, Yandana Shalakaya, Shakshu Vinitanyana Tasmaya Shri Vinaka, Shri Chaitanya Manovishnam, Sapitanyana Vipale, Sam Sakadamaya, Kadashan Vasya, Mukham Karoti Vashlam, Kampana Vaita, Yakupata Mahambande, Shri Guru, Dhisavinam, Panchatattvam Krishnam, Bhaktarupa Swarupakam, Bhaktana Purva Pratya Namani Bhakti Shaktikam, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vaishnavi Gaura Bhaktavinoda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Which will gradually explain the disappearance of Lord Krishna, how he will unmanifest his pastimes. In the previous chapter was explaining to us the situation of Dhritarashtra, Gandhari and Vidura, how they have left for the Himalayas to perform severe penance and austerity, and how by the import or by the grace of Narada Muni, he spoke to the Pandavas, specifically Yudhisthira Maharaj, explaining the situation of Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, and how the Pandavas should not lament for their uncle and auntie, and how they should also not lament as Mahatma Vidura had also left their great uncle. So we see in a lot of pastimes, Narada Muni, eternal associate of Lord Krishna, is always there to add flavor or to assist the Lord in his transcendental pastimes, whether it's with the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, the pastime of the different earthly pastimes of Krishna. Narada Muni travels to Dwarka, he is allowed to travel everywhere to be able to assist Krishna in his pastimes, even before they manifest. Narada Muni is there. So, by the grace of Krishna, he's been given this great benediction to be able to travel anywhere by mystic potency, of course, and by the
potency of his pure devotional service. So Arjuna is now setting off to Dwarka to go and see Lord Krishna, because he wants to find out what Krishna's next activities are going to be. So when Krishna comes to manifest his pastimes here, his pastimes in Vrindavan or Dwarka, his Boma Lila, he comes with a certain mood and mission, just like any other avatar of the Supreme Lord had a specific duty to perform. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, after being approached by the demigods by the shore of the Milky Ocean, explained to them that he will come in the age of Kali, and that they should also descend with the Lord when the time is right. So specific demigods would also appear to assist in the Lord's pastimes. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself explains why he comes primarily and secondarily to this material domain, how himself he enters and at the same time remains aloof from the material creation. So he explains that primarily he comes to enact his wonderful leelas, his pastimes, so that his devotees may become attracted, may become entrapped and enraptured by his beauty, by his flute playing, by his association, his entourage that he brings, and by his wonderful pastimes. So this is Krishna's primary duty. And amidst all of that, Krishna is also annihilating the demoniac mentality, or annihilating the impious personalities. And therefore we see in Krishna book, which Prabhupada completed very early in his mission of establishing Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada gave us Krishna book, and where he gave the pastimes of Krishna, getting rid of certain demons, whether it be Salva, Dantavakra, Shishupal, Pundrika, so many different demonic mentalities or demonic personalities were being slayed by the Supreme Lord and his expansion, Lord Balaram, etc. So these pastimes are also pleasurable for the devotee. It's not that we only look for the beautiful pastimes, not beautiful, but we not only look for specific pastimes by Lord Krishna of the gopis, or Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, enjoying or sporting with his dear companions, but even the pastimes of Krishna killing demons are very wonderful to hear, because in that way we can understand how Krishna can annihilate also our demonic mentality. By the presence of Krishna in our consciousness, and by the presence of Krishna in our day-to-day activities, there can actually be no ignorance. There can be no false ego. So in this material world, we come as a result of wanting to be lords of material nature. We are superior by nature, but when the living entity comes into contact with matter, that superiority becomes imbued with the toxic false ego. So the false ego puts the living entity into their forgetfulness. It covers their original identity. And therefore, everything in the material world becomes inauspicious. It is like decorations of dead bodies, because it is separate from Krishna. So when Arjuna went to Dwarka to see that the Lord indeed had finished performing his pastimes, he started seeing, as we'll hear later on, he started seeing different omens, different inauspicious activities, even around Krishna's kingdom, in leading towards Dwarka. So different activities, like anger, greed, lust, quarreling between family members, quarreling between husband and wife, between brothers, between sisters. He started seeing all these different things, and by dint of his intelligence, Arjuna could understand that possibly the Supreme Lord is about to disappear from this material world. He's about to wind up his pastimes. So not only that, but also environmentally, ecologically, there were so many inauspicious omens. So the seasonal changes had become so irregular. So many things had become disrupted. Now we can see that in this day and age, how everything is disrupted. The weather in Melbourne for the past few weeks has been just very disruptive. It is not natural. It's December, and some of us might be still wearing socks and cardigans and so many different things. So the forgetfulness or the disconnection of the living entity and Krishna can be seen in the environment that we live in, because we are claiming proprietorship, we are claiming dominion, we are claiming control over Krishna's material energy, forgetting that Krishna is the source of both matter and spirit, is a great sign that the state of existence of so-called human beings is demonian. Because everything is actually belonging to Krishna. Matter and spirit belongs to Krishna. And we are meant to connect everything we have in the service of the Lord. So everything that Arjuna will see, the different omens, the inauspicious signs that he will see, this is all that we ourselves are accustomed to seeing in this material world on a large scale, because people have forgotten who Krishna is, people have forgotten who they are, and therefore there is no connection with the source of everything. So the only value we have in this material world is that Krishna is there in every single atom, his expansion of the super soul, that Shakti, it gives attraction, it gives life to this material existence. Without the presence of the super soul, actually there can be no existence. The super soul is only there to give guidance, to sanction, to permit, and to oversee the activities of the soul. So without the presence of the super soul in this material world, the soul cannot act. We cannot be in forgetfulness, we cannot be in remembrance, we cannot be in ignorance without the help of Krishna. Everything depends on Krishna's energy. All our activities, our faculties for hearing, for seeing, for feeling, for touching, for remembering on a gross and subtle level, they all depend on Krishna and his potencies in terms of the devatas, those who are administrators in Krishna's material domain. So everything is dependent on Krishna, and the absence of this type of consciousness is a demonic mentality. So a demonic mentality doesn't mean that one looks like a horrendous creature from the lower subterranean regions. Not that we have tails sticking out from our backside, or horns on our foreheads, we have charcoal eyes, or, you know, our breath is powerful enough to burn an entire city. Like we read of demons, you know, that are created in different yajnas to kill or Shiva or Indra, etc. But demonic mentality, as Krishna himself explains in Bhagavad Gita, explains how this demonic mentality begins with the rejection of authority, specifically the Vedic literatures, which teaches that there is a supreme being, there is a Parabrahman, and we are connected with him as servants. So in any sphere, in any relationship, there's that dasya mood, that servant attitude. So in all different relationships, the foundation is servant, and that carries on and depending on the different tastes or the different rasas we have, that dasya is transformed into either vatsalya or chivalry. So many different rasas one may have with Krishna. The forgetfulness of that, our mentality is classified as demonic, because then we reject Krishna. We reject his knowledge in terms of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, all the different Puranas, the Mahabharat. We start seeing them as folklore or as grander wisdom. Nice stories we hear when we were young, before going to bed. But these are actual factual accounts of how Krishna acted. And from these factual accounts, we can get to understand how to keep our life auspicious by putting Krishna as the center. So if we want our life to be auspicious, if we want real wealth, we have to understand that we have to access the supreme topmost person, the reservoir of everything, the reservoir of all pleasure, that is Krishna, the reservoir of all opulence, the husband of the goddess of fortune, that is Sri Krishna. The Vedic texts sometimes will refer to other personalities as Bhagavan in relationship to their serving the supreme Bhagavan Krishna. So sometimes Narada Muni himself is addressed as Bhagavan by Krishna. When Narada Muni is visiting Krishna in Dwarka, sometimes Krishna addresses him as Bhagavan. Sometimes Lord Shiva is also addressed as Bhagavan. But Srila Prabhupada, which is very important to understand that, yes, we have the Sanskrit text, we can be reading different Sanskrit books, etc., but it is important to highlight the great depth and the clarity that Srila Prabhupada's purpose gives. Because we can, even if we're Sanskrit scholars, it becomes difficult for a limited entity to try and understand the unlimited Supreme Person. Therefore, we require Srila Prabhupada's transcendental purpose because they make us understand the mood of Krishna in terms of his rasa with the devotees, and they make us understand the tattva of Krishna, the position of Krishna and the living entity. So yes, sometimes Krishna will address different living entities, or the scripture will address different exalted beings as Bhagavan in relation to their connection with Krishna and how they utilize their energies to glorify the Supreme Lord Krishna, Parabrahman. So Narada Muni is such a personality, Lord Shiva sometimes is such a personality, even sometimes Lord Indra is referred to as Bhagavan in terms of his opulence. But we understand, although these devotees can be termed Bhagavan due to a certain circumstance, we have a clear indication, according to Srila Prabhupada's purport, as to who the supreme source of everything is. Lord Brahma himself, at the dawn of creation, the most intelligent being in material existence, he explained after the four seed shlokas were revealed to him in the heart by none other than Krishna. He composed beautiful prayers called the Brahma Samhita. In the beginning of that, he specifically states who the supreme Ishvara is. He mentions Krishna, the source of everything. The original form of the personality of Godhead is Krishna in his true form. So we have different expansions of Krishna. We have Krishna's Narayan expansion. We have Krishna's Virat form. We have so many different angas, so many different potencies, avatars of Krishna. But the origin of all these avatars, the origin of all these expansions, is in these two arms form, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. So that Lord Brahma, before he begins glorifying Lord Krishna in depth, glorifying his shaktis, his energies, he begins by stating the fact of the matter is the supreme Ishvara, the cause of all causes, the chief among all living entities, is Sri Krishna. And yes, he is a person. The absolute truth is greatly understood in its personalistic form. When you refer to someone as their Sachin Ananda Vigraha, Vigraha means that personality has form, that is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. So the highest point of understanding that person is through their personality, which substitutes that they do have a form. they are not impersonal. They might have an impersonal aspect to themselves, but they do have a form. So when we're speaking on the phone to someone, we can hear their voice, which is an impersonal representation of the personality. And from hearing the voice, we can think of it like this sometimes, to remind ourselves that yes, we're chanting Krishna's name, and behind Krishna's name is the person, none different. So when we're speaking to our friend on the phone, we hear their voice. We might not know who we're speaking to first, but as we speak, we understand, oh, this is such and such a person. Then their form manifests in our mind. So we might be speaking to our boss, and then, oh yes, this is the boss. And immediately, okay, they look like this. They're at the office. They're here. They're there. So yes, sometimes there is the impersonal aspect of the Supreme Person, but there is the topmost understanding that He is a person. Swaya Bhagavan. So by having this understanding, together with hearing about Krishna's pastimes, we can get to really relish the foundations of the Krishna conscious philosophy. Like we are eternal, we are qualitatively one with the Lord, but quantitatively we are we're very minute, we're very small, and the Supreme Lord is Vibhu. This is why He can manifest all these different pastimes. And this is why Krishna comes to display these pastimes, so that our mind becomes captured and enamored by His wonderful leaders. So we hear in the Bhagavatam how Krishna has, you know, His wonderful beauty. He's always surrounded by His devotees, His flute playing, His, you know, His entourage. These are all aspects that attract us to the personality of Krishna, which other incarnations do not have. So specifically, Krishna has these, He manifests these potencies in full so that we become attracted. And we get to understand actually who is the Supreme. So Krishna bewilders, even in His cowherd boy form, He bewilders Lord Rama in His Rama Vimohana Leela to show that yes, I'm a cowherd boy, but I'm still the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna, yes, shows His prowess to humble the living entity who was sometimes promoted over material nature, because we have the same qualities as Krishna, but in very, very minute quantities. This is explained in the Nectar of Devotion. And Srila Prabhupada specifically states that according to the degree of our purity, these qualities manifest. So the qualities are there, but depending on our level and the amount of purity we have, these qualities will manifest to a certain degree. So purity is highly essential, and we purify ourselves by coming into contact with the supremely pure person, Krishna. So the more you hear the pastimes of Krishna, the more pure our consciousness becomes, the more pure our actions become. So hearing Shravanam and Kirtanam, it is the foundation of all the other angas of bhakti. So Shravanam and Kirtanam is there in the beginning, and it's also there in the end. It's not that we become liberated and the Shravanam and the Kirtanam stops. The Shravanam and the Kirtanam continues while we are serving the devotees, while we're remembering Krishna, while we are being humble servants of Krishna, while we surrender everything, we are constantly engaged in hearing and chanting the pastimes of Krishna. That is how we become pure, by connecting ourselves with the supremely pure person, Krishna, who is explained to be just like the sun. So Krishna comes and He displays His pastimes in this material domain, but He's not affected by the modes of material nature. Just as the sun, it is always pure, although it shines in very filthy areas. It is there in, you know, very unsatisfying situations, but the sun is never contaminated. So this is the wonderful personality of Krishna. This is how we can become pure, by connecting ourselves with that supremely pure person. And when that connection is lost, if that connection is not there, then we connect ourselves with the material energy. There is no in between. We're either marginal, means we have a choice. We can either be connected to Krishna's personal, his own personal internal potency, or we can be connected with Krishna's external potency, which has a bewildering and a deluding energy around it. So in between, we cannot create a fad of being here or being there. We are either under Krishna's external potency or under Krishna's direct internal potency. And when we are covered by Krishna's external potency, it becomes very difficult to try and swim in this ocean of material existence. Krishna explains that this energy, this Taiti Shakti energy, it is very powerful and it is very difficult to overcome. He said, it is his, is Mama Maya Jivashraya. It will bewilder you. So don't even think about fighting with the material energy by ourselves. It is inconceivable for a limited living entity to try and tackle such a powerful energy. So the only way we can overcome this daivi energy, this external energy which belongs to Krishna, is to surrender to Krishna, because he knows how to untangle the living entities who are his parts and parcels and elevate them to their original Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada says, he came to spread this Krishna consciousness movement because people have forgotten how to love God. People have forgotten who God is, and they've forgotten how to love God. So he's come to give this process, which is contained in his books. And then yesterday, I think it was Jai Sachi Prabhu was explaining how Prabhupada would rise early in the morning to translate these wonderful literatures so that we can gradually taste the nectar of every step of Harinam Sankirtan. So by hearing Prabhupada's transcendental purpose, by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, this Chirtur Talpana Marjanam starts happening. We start wiping away this ignorance and we burn off our material contamination, material attachments. So this happens by taking shelter of Prabhupada's purports, Prabhupada's letters, Prabhupada's conversations, Prabhupada's morning walk. Prabhupada explained that these are my transcendental ecstasies. So Prabhupada would translate early in the morning, and Prabhupada was always situated in full Krishna consciousness. So at that time, Prabhupada's meditation was very, very condensed. So during Brahma Muhurta hours, Prabhupada would be meditating on the divine couple and write his transcendental purpose under Krishna's guidance. And in that way, there's so much saturation of pure love in these purpose that Srila Prabhupada has written for us. And to enliven us and to enthuse us, we should be taking shelter of Prabhupada in this way. Should be taking shelter of the sages Narada Muni, of the great saints Mahatma Vidura, by listening to the instructions in Prabhupada's purpose. Because Prabhupada carries with him the mercy and the potency of the Parampara. So as Kadambakanana Swami recently was explaining during an initiation ceremony, that the reason why initiation is so important is because on that day, all the mercy, the potency, the blessings of the entire disciplic succession is invested in that ceremony and given to the disciple. That mercy is always there, but on that specific day where you take vows in front of the yajic fire, when you take in front of the Vaishnavas, in front of the deities, the super soul, you are invoking all the mercy and all the blessings, and the entire disciplic succession blesses you on that day. And you are directly now linked with the disciplic succession. There has been a formal link that's been created. So there's a lot of potency in that. So when we take shelter of Prabhupada's books, his purpose, There is a lot of potency because Prabhupada carries with him the mercy of the entire disciplic succession. So our meditation could be to dispel our darkness in Kali Yuga, to dispel our ignorance. We take shelter of the literary incarnation of Krishna given by Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And in that way, our connection with the Parampara, it is always strong, it is always fixed. And our mood of gratitude becomes even stronger. Because if we think and understand how Srila Prabhupada would rise early every single day, no matter where he was traveling from in the world, to translate these books for our purification, for our Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada would every single day without fail work on translating his books. Even when he was doing his final instructions in Vrindavan, Prabhupada was still translating, specifically the Vanashram section. Prabhupada was still speaking. He had a dictaphone to his mouth. He was still translating. So this should show to us the amount of gratitude we should have for Srila Prabhupada for translating these books. And that as much as we can, we should try to give people a taste of these transcendental ecstasies by distributing as many books as we possibly can in whatever our capacity is. So there isn't only just one way to do book distribution. You can set up tables, you can do door to door, you can go on the streets, you can do it at your workplace. You can do so many different ways. We can pray to Krishna for the intelligence of how to distribute these books. We can pray to Krishna for the inspiration to go out and distribute his books to whatever capacity we can. And this way, when people get a hold, when the conditioned souls get a hold of these books, all their imperfections, all our inabilities, all their insanities of trying to become the Lord and Masters of mature creation can slowly get diminished, and they can be reinstated in their original Krishna consciousness. This is why these books are there. They're there to eliminate and really get rid of our Ishvara mentality of thinking that we're the Lord and we're the Masters. So by taking shelter of these books, we can get rid of the polluted mentality of which comes as a result of material existence. So having a material body doesn't only mean repeated birth and death, old age and disease, but you become endowed with malice, with errors, insanity, inability to discriminate between matter and spirit, cheating propensities. We have all these imperfections. This is what a material body means. But to purify that tendency, we connect ourselves with the supremely pure personality, Sri Krishna, through the process of Vaidya Sadhana Bhakti. And gradually we get elevated and we move beyond the modes of material nature. So connection with Krishna through the process of bhakti will get rid of all inauspiciousness, all imperfections of being in the world of duality. So this is just the beginning chapter of Lord Krishna's disappearance, and we will see the emotional roller coaster ride of the Lord's pure devotees who are attached to his pastimes, how they become disheartened to hear that and to see that the Lord very slowly has wound up his pastimes and he's slowly returning to his supreme abode. So we start off with Arjuna witnessing the different inauspicious omens, and gradually we'll hear throughout the week from the devotees how this will gradually unfold. I'll stop there and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions.
while some devotees is advanced, while some is quite really slow, while some we don't have any taste for it. Mm-hmm. Even though Krishna's name is pure, acting equally on everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we see a difference there.
So why? Why is one devotee advancing more than the other devotee? Desire. Because one time somewhere in Prabhupada, one devotee was complaining that Maya is so strong. And then Prabhupada's response was, your desires are not strong enough. Your spiritual desires are not strong enough. That's why you think Maya is so strong. So with devotees, with everyone, whatever we do, it depends on how strong our desires are. You can have, and you see quite often, father, you know, a judge, high court judge, or a president, or a king, he has two sons. One son turns out to be a really good citizen and very intelligent, abides by the laws, and the other son turns into a rascal, a hoodlum, a miscreant, right, an asura. But they had the same opportunities. They had the same type of education. They had the same type of family structure, the same everything. But the desire is what pushes the living entities to act. So we're all given the same opportunity to hear and chant. We're all given the same opportunity to come to the temple. The Maha Mantra is there. Prabhupada's books are there. Devotee association is there. But how much are we greedy for that? How much are we desperate to get Krishna? And sometimes I say, I listened to a lecture by His Holiness Devaramita Swami explaining how, you know, we always say, give me the mercy, Prabhu, I want the mercy, please give me a special blessing. The blessings are there already, we just have to take. Hearing is there, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, all these processes of bhakti are already there. We have to be greedy for them. We have to have an intense desire. And the more we desire, the more Krishna gives opportunities. And the more Krishna gives intelligence of how to access Him more. So it all depends on the living entity's desire to hear and chant about Krishna. What can you do to get a stronger desire to advance more? Through association with advanced devotees and through sincere service. So when you associate with advanced devotees, doesn't mean that you associate with advanced devotees on a geographical level or on a physical level. Or the pure devotees are coming, they're here, we look at them and we follow them. That means we hear the instructions and we try and implement the instructions. We associate with Prabhupada. Some of us have never met Prabhupada in person, but we associate with Prabhupada. We deepen our connection with Srila Prabhupada by reading his books. I listened to Prabhupada, following Srila Prabhupada the other day by Yadubhan Prabhu. And he was explaining how Prabhupada was giving a lecture. It was in San Francisco, and there's one reporter there, and this reporter was asking a question. And before the reporter could even finish the question, Prabhupada had already given the answer. Right, so the reporter's question was, what will happen to this movement when you die? And before he even finished, Prabhupada just took his cane and was walking off the Vyasa, and he said, I will never die. I'm always there, my goodness. So by associating, to increase our sincerity, we associate with these advanced souls. We hear about their lives. We hear about how Krishna acts with his devotees, how Krishna is the well-wishing friend of his devotees. When we read these pastimes, we develop a conviction that yes, Krishna is only a matter of time. Krishna does reciprocate with his devotees.
This is why these pastimes are here, so that we see Krishna reciprocate with different types of devotees. Krishna reciprocates with Kubja. Krishna reciprocates with Putana, with Bakasura, with Aristasura. Krishna reciprocates with so many different devotees. What to speak of those who try and serve him with a favorable intention. Krishna will reciprocate in a matter of time when he sees fit. So by associating with the pure devotees, hearing the instructions, and also serving Krishna without expecting anything in return, that mood of I'm a servant of Krishna through thick and thin will give us so much enthusiasm, will give us so much gratitude, and will give us more desires to just want to be a servant of Krishna and his devotees. So service to Krishna's devotees and connecting with the advanced devotees through their body, the instructions. Thank you very much, Dr. Ashima Gopatan. Thank you.